Today we continue this series from Colossians chapter 3 about excess baggage. In this chapter, Paul talks about things that we need to get rid of if we want to be everything God wants us to be. There are many things that will drag us down and prevent us from being the best person that we can be. Our human nature actually wrestles against this, but we must live to the Spirit and let God help us. Here's what Paul writes about. He says this, beginning in verse 1 of Colossians 3, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you." Let me pause right there for a second and make sure that this rings in your heart very clear. Putting sin to death is not optional for the Christian. There was a Puritan named Richard Baxter, and he wrote this, "Use sin as it will use you. Spare it not, for it will not spare you. It is your murderer and the murderer of the world. Use it, therefore, as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you. And though it bring you to the grave as it did your head, it shall not be able to keep you there." He tells us that we have to die to sin, and that's exactly what Paul says. He goes on to say, and I love the power of this word, "Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. Worshiping the things of this world, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now it's time to get rid of all of these things." Let me jump down to verse 12. And he says, "Since God shows you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you." And I think it's important to note there, he doesn't say he says offense is going to happen. So when you are offended, we are to forgive quickly. "Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must." There's that four-letter word again that I put in all caps. You must forgive others. "Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns to the spiritual songs of and the spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him or through him to God the Father." Join me in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the word that penetrates our hearts and brings direction and correction and understanding to our souls. I pray, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit would come and illuminate and magnify the word that is being spoken today to those who hear. I pray, Lord, that we would live in obedience to your Spirit's work in our hearts, that we would obey you completely and immediately. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us to know what full life and true life is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, what you have to do here is you have to drop the bag, get rid of the excess bag called selfishness. And part of that word would be the word greed. The reality is that as you become greedy and you try to grab things, you actually weigh yourself down to a place where you can't enjoy life. The Bible says the way that we get rid of this selfish attitude of greed is by grabbing hold of thoughtfulness, being aware of other people and thinking about them. Paul tells us in another place in Scripture, he says that we are to consider others more highly than ourselves, to be thoughtful of them, to be considerate of them. So I want to talk with you for a few minutes about what this looks like. And I want to begin with this. What does selfishness look like? What are we talking about here? I think when we only use words, we all would quickly say, no, I'm not selfish, I'm thoughtful. But if we begin to examine what it looks like, I think we may see some points that represent our life that we need to get rid of that we need to cut off, that we need to take off. There's two ways of looking at these words. Paul, first of all, says that we're to get rid of, we're to put it to death. Then later on, he says, take it off like a dirty shirt at the end of the day. Take it off like ragged clothes to put on a new suit. And we have to get rid of greed and selfishness. What does it look like? Well, greed is idolatry because it's worship of the things of this world, but it's worship in a self-consuming way. The reason it's wrong is because we're making ourselves truly our idol, where we're saying what I want is more important than anything else. We understand that when we put God first, when we look to others and what's happening in their life secondly, and we put ourselves third, the Bible says that when we do that, we will be exalted and we will have joy and grace and peace in our life. Here's what it looks like when we are selfish. We focus more on what I want than anything else. Let me give a couple of examples of how that looks in real life. When we're selfish, we see this, and maybe some can identify today with this thought. We see this: my problem is more important than anyone else. What I'm going through today is the worst thing anyone has ever encountered. My situation is more horrible, and we can have a tendency to be irritated because we can't go to church and we maybe can't go to work and we can't do all the things that we are accustomed to doing. Maybe for many of us, it means that even our personal income has been reduced. So we have to make some hard choices and some difficult decisions. And we think this is awful. It's part of our human nature to feel that way. But if we'll pause for a moment and think about those who have suffered much more than we have, we think about people who have maybe lost a loved one. Think about people who've been in the hospital for, you know, days and weeks as this thing has continued to attack their body. And if we look at it clearly, we begin to say, you know, I'm not that bad off. The reality is most of us, the problems that we encounter, they're going to be gone in a few days. They're not going to be long-term for us. But if we're not careful, we elevate our problem to be greater than anyone else's. When we have selfishness, we basically have this concept right here. Everyone needs to take notice of me, and everyone needs to serve me and accommodate me. Jesus made some strong statements about that. He said, let me give the context. The disciples come to him, and they say, Lord, who's going to be right there by your side when you come into your kingdom? We want to be there. And they're arguing back and forth. And they're mad, and they're mad at the guys who ask first because they feel like, you know, I wish I would have thought of it sooner. And they're all angry about who's going to get the seat of prominence. And Jesus said, in the world, people look for to be elevated in life so that they will receive benefits and blessings and privileges. And they lord it over others. But he said, in the kingdom of God, it's not to be that way. He says, whoever wants to be first needs to be last. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become the servant of all. Now, I just want to tell you this morning that those words do not register with the human heart at all. The human heart says, if I want to be great, I've got to raise up my life. I need everyone to take notice of me and serve me. But when we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, he changes our heart. And we realize, this is the interesting part of all of this, that when we go down a path that we think will provide joy, it really provides a lot of frustration. But when we begin to do what the Word of God tells us to do, we'll find out that through serving others, we receive the greatest joy. Here's another thought about what selfishness looks like. Maybe some can relate to this. When we are selfish in life, as we begin to approach our personal situation, all of our conversations are very dramatic. They're exaggerations. We feel that we alone will suffer that like no one else ever has, and we make our problem bigger and more dramatic, and we want everyone to hear our story, and we tend to exaggerate out how bad it really is. And what I've discovered is that when I begin to dramatize my problem, people really don't like listening. When I begin to exaggerate my situation, people discount me. I would encourage you as we go through this next few weeks of isolation a little bit for some of us, maybe not encountering people like we want to, that we would recognize that we're all going through the same problems. And if you're going through a problem today that's of a greater magnitude, if you'll let us know how we can help you, we want to. Maybe there are some in our congregation we're trying to call and check on and find out about, but maybe we didn't find out about your situation. Call me and let me know. We'll do all that we can to help you. But let's celebrate provision. Let's celebrate what God is doing for us more than what we don't have. And let's don't dramatize our negativity. Let's don't exaggerate the issue, but rather let's exaggerate from our perspective, let's magnify, as the Old Testament word, who God is. Let's make him big. We truly can't make him bigger than he is, but we can make him bigger in our vision and in our sight by putting our focus on him. Another thing about this that I see is when we're selfish, not only do we maximize our problem, but by nature then we minimize everybody else's problem. We don't think about their issue as being as big or as hard. You know, in this current situation where many people have been frustrated because how it affects church and being able to come together. And I promise you, there's nobody more wanting to get back in a regular church service than me. I can't wait to see all of you in person. But this is what we have for now. The great news about this, I think even in this problem, God is helping us to understand that church is not just a building. It's not just even an assembling together. But church is what happens when we leave the building. We had signs up in the past that make this very clear, and it said, enter to worship, leave to serve, leave to minister. And the reality is that this is a time that the church should be reaching out to people around us. We should be minimizing our problem and looking at what's going on in their life and how can we help what they are experiencing. Don't minimize other people's problems, because if you do, it indicates a selfish nature. Another thing about selfishness is this: selfish people, greedy people, refuse to be grateful. It's really hard for them to ever stop and think about the good things in life because they're so focused on what they don't have. Now, I would encourage you today. I know that November is when we do Thanksgiving, but it'd be great today for you just to start writing down. Get out a piece of paper and write down 100 things I'm thankful for. I promise you, if you give a little bit of thought, that list will be completed very quickly. There's so many things we can be thankful for today. I believe that gratitude, and I'll talk about some more of these in a moment, but I believe gratitude is one of the things that breaks the hold of selfishness and greed in our hearts. When we begin to truly be thankful, it moves us to a place where we break out of that, out of the grip, out of the chains of greed and selfishness. The other problem that comes through this is all of a sudden we develop a spirit of entitlement, of someone owes me. Someone needs to take care of me. We should recognize, as believers in Jesus Christ, who have received salvation through him, who declare him to be our Lord and Savior, we have everything we need right now. We should rejoice and be glad, and we should be looking for ways to help other people. When we have this selfish attitude, quite often our approach is one that looks away from what we have and focuses on what we don't have. It's hard to be content. It's hard to be happy. It's hard to be grateful. And when selfishness grips our heart, it truly chokes out all of the joy that God wants us to experience. Well, let me go to a more positive note and talk about what thankfulness looks like for a moment. According to the scripture here, there's some things that Paul says that when we're thankful, that when we're thoughtful toward other people, it will be seen by that first quality that comes there right after verse 12, or in verse 12, when he says that we'll be clothed with compassion, tender mercy, looking for ways we can help people. You know, I've talked to a few people over the last couple of weeks as we've been going through this coronavirus pandemic as it's applied to our nation. And I've had many people say to me that as I begin to help others, now as I begin to look for ways to show compassion and grace and mercy in other people's lives, it has made my life happier. Somehow many people have bought into the lie that the accumulation of things provides happiness, but Jesus told us that's not the case. Don't think that happiness is measured by what a person possesses. Paul told Timothy that greed or covetousness or this selfishness that it is, as it refers to the love of money, it is a root of all kinds of evil. Now, a lot of people have get those words mixed up and leave things out. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money, that continual desire for more. And doesn't it make sense that if you continually want more, by that very nature, there's this built-in quality that says, I can never be happy. I can never reach that place where I'm happy, where I can rest. One of the greatest things that we can learn in being thoughtful toward other people is being compassionate. And along that line is to learn contentment. Contentment, I believe, is actually worship toward God that says, I'm thankful for what I have and I'm going to acknowledge my blessings more than I'm going to look at other things. And when we're contented, we have this tendency to look at other people. There's a story that's told of the life of Matthew Henry, one of the great Bible commentators of a bygone era. And he was one night accosted by this man who came and I think even at gunpoint demanded his money. And he gave him all that he had. And as it was concluding and the man left and he's standing there with all of his money being taken away from him, he began to meditate on it. And I think it may have been even the next day that he wrote these words. But here's what he said. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. He said, let me be thankful second because although the robber took my purse or took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, let me be happy. This is an interesting one here. Because although they took everything I had, it wasn't that much. Maybe some can relate to that today. And he said, and fourth, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed someone else. You know, you may have to work at it a little bit to find gratitude and contentment in your heart, but I promise you that it is an exercise that is worthy of your effort. When we are compassionate, when we are kind, when we are contented, when we are grateful. By the way, as you look at the text, look at the very end of the passage we looked at today, starting there with verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you go back up even to verse 15 again, we read this phrase, and always be thankful. I think it's interesting to note the Apostle Paul three times in like four verses says to the people at Colossae, you need to always be thankful. You know, thankfulness is not something we have just when we get our way. It's not something we have only on the day that we get the bonus or an increase in our pay or a new promotion, a new job. But rather, thankfulness is something that should happen every day. I mean, right now, for most of us, probably all of us that are involved in watching this today, we can be thankful that we have the ability to breathe. There are people in hospitals right now all around the world and all across America who are struggling for breath because of the coronavirus, and they're having trouble with that. Thank God for just the little things in life. We need to develop these attitudes of compassion, kindness, generosity, giving joyfully, giving abundantly, gratitude, contentment. For in doing these things, we will be more thoughtful toward other people. Rather than looking at what you don't have, look at what you have and look at how you can use it to bless others. What happens when we embrace thoughtfulness and we let go of selfishness? Well, I think there are several things that happen. I want to just mention a couple of them here. The one thing I know is this, that your life will become more enjoyable when you embrace thoughtfulness toward other people and you push away, you discard selfishness. Selfishness can never be satisfied. Greed knows no end. It keeps longing for more. But when you're thoughtful toward other people, it creates joy in your heart. Life is more fun. Life is more fun. I've always been amazed when we've gone on missions trips, particularly to impoverished areas, and to see people who are rejoicing and singing praises to God, to watch children as they play and they don't even have toys. They use whatever's around to make some kind of ball out of a sock or whatever they can find. They They don't have anything, but they're happy. They're joyful. Can I tell you today that things will never create joy for you? As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, the writer there says, the more you have, the more problems, the more worry, the more difficulty, the more hardship. We need to recognize that when we are grateful for what we have, rather than always wanting more, it brings enjoyment to our life. A second thing I think that happens is not only is life more enjoyable for you, but you'll have a focus toward helping other people. Jesus said this in the book of Acts. It's recorded by Luke that Jesus said it. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think there are many Christians that really, truly don't fully understand that. I've heard people joke around and say, well, I just want to be a blessing. I'll be the receiver and I'll let you give and get the bigger gift, the bigger blessing. But the reality is that is if we practice this, we understand its truth. When we give, we find joy. We find blessing in giving that receiving never has. Now, all of us need to learn also to receive with appreciation and goodness. That's part of the cycle of life. But I would encourage you to make it more of a goal to bless others than to look for who's going to bless you. When you have an attitude of thoughtfulness and you push away selfishness, it will help other people who are around you. The third thing I want to say is probably the most important one is this. When we get rid of selfishness, we get rid of greed, and we embrace thoughtfulness, we represent Jesus well. You know, as you read through this passage, Paul tells us that the reason for all of this writing is so that God would receive glory, so that Jesus Christ would be worshiped. And when the church begins to do the things that we've been called to do, it causes people in the world to speak well about Jesus. I think you probably are in agreement with me. I want people in Owosso to think that Jesus is awesome, to think that God is incredible, simply because they know some of us. And they realize we're children of God. We've received the gift of salvation through Jesus, and the way that we act is a good representation of who He is. Christians should be the first ones to serve. We should be the first ones to volunteer. We should be the first ones to say, how can I give? How can I help? What can I do? The reality is this, greed will actually choke the joy out of your life. But generosity, gratefulness, and compassion will cause your life to develop pockets of joy that are overwhelming. I want to encourage you today to get rid of the things that keep you from being your best for God, to make a decision today that you're going to embrace the things. And by the way, let me go back and make sure you understand the underlying point of this. How does all of this happen? It doesn't happen because of our effort. It doesn't happen because we try to be better. It all goes back to the first part of this chapter. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. It's not about all of us trying to do better or work harder, but it's about us submitting more to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Asking Him every day, how can I represent you better? What would you have me do today? I encourage you in the next week to practice this right here. When you start your day off, and for some of us, the day is going to be fairly simple and fairly similar for a few days. You may not be going to a lot of places. You'll probably be at home most of the time. But how about making some phone calls? How about sending out a text message? Letting people know that you care. Asking, what can I do to help you? How can I serve you? And if you know of a need, you don't even have to ask. Just meet it. I believe that as we practice these things and we ask, Lord, what would you want me to do today? Guide my day, Lord. Put me where I need to be. Bring reminders to my heart of who I can call or who I can text. Help me to be an encouragement. Help me to be example. I want to encourage you today, get rid of selfishness, get rid of greed, and embrace a thoughtful heart that says, I want to be compassionate, I want to be kind, I want to be generous, I want to be gracious. I want to treat others in the same manner that God has treated me. He forgave me all of my sins. I need to be forgiving other people. I pray today that God's grace would be strong in your life and that he would help you to be everything he's designed you to be. Let me pray for you right now. And as I pray, will you just ask God in this moment, Lord, help me to get rid of selfishness and greed and help me to be thoughtful. Lord, I thank you today that you have called us to be your children. What an incredible privilege. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that those things bring with it very practical help. It's not just about what we do on Sunday. It's not just about singing loud or giving hand claps of praise, but it's how we live once we leave the building. Lord, right now, we're not even able to come to the building. So I pray that you would help us every day to live for you in a way that would represent who you are. May we show compassion and kindness to everyone we meet. In a world that's filled with hostility and confusion, may we be a difference maker. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that today and that we would look for opportunities to be thoughtful toward others. God, I thank you for your grace that is up on us, for your generosity, for your kindness. And I pray, Lord, you would continue to help us be everything you've designed us to be. I give you praise and thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.